reading verses 26 through 30 in just a moment. Just to kind of set the scene for what transpires in this text. Israel had, as a nation, survived under the leadership of three kings prior to this time, over a period of about 120 years. And at the end of Solomon's reign, the kingdom divided into two, the southern kingdom and Judah, under the leadership of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And then in the north, in the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel that were located in that area were led by a man by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam faced a difficult problem, and that was how to, of course, keep the loyalty of the people of his nation and prevent them from returning their loyalty to the king of in Judah and reuniting as a nation. He was a practical man, apparently. He fashioned a pretty good plan about how to go about this, and that's what this text is about. So if you would, please, begin reading with me in verse 26, 1 Kings chapter 12. Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will return to the house of David. That's what he was afraid of. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land, or out from the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. As you see, what Jeroboam devised was a plan to hold the loyalty of his people. And he set up worship centers in Bethel and in Dan. They were located by the border of the two nations. And so the people of his nation would not go all the way down to Jerusalem, or at least most of them would not go all the way down to Jerusalem. And by that, he hoped to keep their loyalty. I think this probably affirms a quality or a characteristic of people of all time, even of people today. That is, people will not do what they think is unreasonable. If they believe it's an unreasonable thing, they are not going to comply with it. And so what Jeroboam had to do was to convince the people of the northern kingdom it was unreasonable to go down to Jerusalem. And that's what he meant when he talked about, it is too much for you to go down to Jerusalem. It was just difficult. And there's no question but what it must have been a difficult task to have done that. There were various times throughout the course of the year that the Jews were supposed to assemble in Jerusalem for the observance of various festivals. Well, I suspect that took a lot of time. It probably took a lot of effort to make the trip. May have cost them some money. There were just a number of things that were probably involved in making this a challenge to go to Jerusalem, particularly as frequently as they were supposed to go. And Jeroboam seems to play upon that and tries to convince them that it was an unreasonable task that they were requested to do. And that's always, it seems to me, been a challenge to God's people. That while God may present to us some things that he desires from us and command us to obey in certain aspects of our lives in ways that are challenging to us, it's always a danger that we come to a point where we begin to think, well, it's just too much to do that. It's unreasonable to do that. Seems to me that's involved in what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. That he was engaged in an effort to convince first Eve and then Adam that, you know, what God was expecting of them was unreasonable. It just required too much of them. It was an unfair thing to request of them. As you read Jeroboam's statement, it is too much to go to Jerusalem. I'm made to kind of begin to think about some other people that did go to Jerusalem. Despite the challenges that were associated with their journeys to that city, nonetheless, they went. They did not believe it was too much to go to Jerusalem. And I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about some of those people. Because I believe there's some lessons that we can learn that will help us in our efforts to serve God and to be obedient to God. The first that I would think of those that found that it was not too much to go to Jerusalem were those men that we know only as the wise men, the Magi. You recall in Matthew, the second chapter, the description of the birth of Jesus and of how these men who were located in the east, we're told, very likely in a region that we would know from, you know, Old Testament studies, the region of Babylon or of Persia. Still, it was quite a distance from Jerusalem. But somehow these men became aware that there was the birth of one, notable one. In fact, the text says that they made their journey to Jerusalem, and there they encountered King Herod, and they explained why they were on this journey, and they say in verse 1 that they had come in order to worship this one. That's a pretty laudable purpose. Well, of course, Herod seeks out from his counselors information about who this might be that would be born, who would be noted as being the king of the Jews. They tell him that it's in Bethlehem that the Christ, the Messiah, is to be born according to prophecy. And so he goes back and he tells the wise men of this, says to them in a lie. He says, now you go and find where he is, and then you come back and tell me where he is, so I can go and worship him as well. Verse 11 is an interesting verse in the context of this story. It says, and they, that is these wise men, came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Now, of course, if you're familiar with the record of the birth of Jesus, you know that he was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. And so Joseph and Mary had taken up shelter in the stable. Jesus, after his birth, was placed into a manger, which is just a feeding trough. But when we come to this part of the story, it is in a house that they are now residing there in Bethlehem. So the passage of some time, I've seen, you know, estimates of maybe as much as 2 years had taken place. But the passage of some time had taken place, and the arrangements under which Joseph and Mary and their new child Jesus were living had changed, so that they were now in a house. But the point is, these men came first to Jerusalem. They thought it not to be too much in order to worship the one that they had become aware of being born. It was not too much in order to worship, in order to go to Jerusalem and to find out there where they should go in order to find this one and to worship him. You know, a lot of times folks find it's just too much. It's unreasonable what is expected of Christians in regards to worship. Do you think it's too much to expect from you that on the Lord's Day, on a weekly basis, on the Lord's Day, that you would gather with fellow Christians and worship? Do you think it's too much to expect that you as a Christian, as one who is seeking knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's will, that you would gather together with Christians to on occasions to study, to learn, to find out more of what God expects of you? I just think I know a lot of folks that think, oh, that's too much. That's too much to ask. That's unreasonable to expect me to be part of such assemblies with others. I remember one time meeting there was a young couple in a church where I was preaching, and I met the father of one of them, and began to talk, and as he learned that I was the preacher where this couple was attending, he pretty quickly began to let me know. Not in a confrontational way. It was not an unpleasant discussion in any way. But he pretty quickly began to let me know that he, by the way, was not a Christian. But he began to let me know that he just thought it was these kids were having to be down there at that church. Just too much. Too many times that they had. Too many opportunities where they of course they went by their choice. It was their wish. They didn't think it was too much to gather together to worship God. But he did. He did think it was too much. I think I see lots of people as I drive here, as you probably do. As I drive here to the building, I think I see lots of folks that probably feel it's too much to think that I would need to go to a church service on Sunday morning. Well, they're out riding their bikes, or they're jogging, or they're involved in other. I want to tell you something. You begin to mess with people's leisure time, and you'll really get into trouble sometimes. They're doing things they like, the kinds of things they enjoy. And it would be too much to ask that you do something for the Lord. These wise men didn't think it was too much to go to Jerusalem. I want to tell you, there were some wise women involved in the story of Jesus as well. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Mark. And Well, I have the 5th chapter down there. I don't think that's what I want, but turn over to chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 40 and 41. Verse 40 says that there were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the less, and Joseph, and Salome. And these were women who were observing. They were watching. They were seeing some events unfolding in the life of Jesus. Verse 41 goes on and says, "And when he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem." Galilee was way to the north in Israel. Jerusalem was down in the south. Little bit of a journey to get there. But here these women are described as being those who observed the life of Jesus, those who became disciples of Jesus, and those who didn't consider that it was too much to go to Jerusalem. What do you suppose they did? What do you suppose that these women were involved in? Verse 41 says that they used to follow Jesus and minister to him. That word minister, just another word for serve. These were women who were wise enough to know it was not too much even to go to Jerusalem in order to serve Jesus. Do you think it's too much to serve? I think there's a lot of folks that maybe feel that in life they're just above doing the menial kinds of tasks. I don't know what these all the things that these women may have done. You know, they may have cooked. They may have done menial kinds of tasks in order to help the Lord to accomplish His purposes, in order to do what He was intended to do in this life in the teaching of the gospel of His Father. And these women were happy to do whatever. I don't believe the text tells us specifically what they did other than to say they served. You and I need to be a people who are wise enough like these women to figure out that it is not too much to ask us to serve, to do the menial things, to do the things that don't necessarily get a lot of attention, to do the things that don't happen in the presence and in the observation of the congregation as a whole, to do the things that maybe no one knows gets done other than the Lord, who is served by the doing of that action. Remember what Jesus told His apostles? Seems to be something that these women knew that those apostles had problems coming to grips with. You remember what He told them? The one who would be greatest among you, do what? Let him serve. Let him be a servant. Let him seek what is in the best interest of others above himself. You remember what the Apostle Paul had to say to the Philippians? He talked to them about not thinking of themselves first, but thinking of others instead. Paul, writing to the Romans, had to say to them, be careful. No, don't let a man think more highly of himself than he ought. I would suggest to you these women had figured that out. And as a result, they were wise because they didn't think it was too much to go to Jerusalem to just be servants of the Lord. I'll tell you another one that probably most of you have thought of him already. Who thought it not unreasonable to go to Jerusalem. And that's Jesus. You look in Luke, the fourth chapter, Luke chapter 4 and verse 9, we have the record of the temptation of Jesus. Verse 9 says that he, that is Satan, led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. I always find that interesting that Satan starts to quote Scripture here. It's almost as if, you know, in the previous temptation, Jesus had quoted Scripture to Satan. And it's almost as if Satan says, well, okay, if you want to play this Scripture-quoting game, I can do it too. And so he quotes Scripture. He quotes it wrongly. He misapplies it, but he uses Scripture. He says in verse 10, it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. In other words, the devil says to Jesus, prove it. If you're the Son of God, prove it. Jesus answered, said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how many wonderful blessings God has, or promises God has made to us. There is never a time when we have the right to say to God, okay, now prove yourself to me. Prove it. And that's all that Jesus was saying to the devil here. There's never a time that you can say this rightly to the Lord. I want to tell you what Jesus felt about going to Jerusalem. He felt it was not too much to go to Jerusalem in order to resist the devil. Do you find that it's sometimes, in your mind, an unreasonable expectation that it's too much to ask of you to resist the devil? Remember what James, the brother of Jesus, wrote? In the epistle of James, he wrote to his brethren and said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's not too much to expect you or me to offer some kind of resistance to the arch enemy of God. But now there's a second time that Jesus goes. Jesus went to Jerusalem, of course, on a number of occasions throughout his life. But another time that he went, it was for the purpose of making himself a sacrifice. Turn, if you would, to Matthew, the 16th chapter. You'll find where Jesus is speaking to his apostles there, Matthew chapter 16, and in verse 21, we find, it says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Interesting part of that story is in the very next verse. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You know what Peter was saying to him? No, Lord, that's too much. It's too much to go to Jerusalem in order to die. This shouldn't happen to you. And you know how the rest of the conversation went on. Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. May I ask you this? Do you sometimes think it's too much to ask you to sacrifice? Is it too much to expect you to give up some things? Maybe to give up, to give the sacrifice of your efforts and of your time, to give the sacrifice of your money, to give the sacrifice of your efforts. Is it too much to expect that, to ask that of you? Turn over to Matthew, the 20th chapter, in verses 17 and 18. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves on the way, and he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests, the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. You remember the words of the apostle Peter, who spoke to his brethren about, don't let any of you, in 1 Peter chapter 4, don't let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or a meddler in other men's... Don't suffer for those things. But if anyone suffers for the name of Christ, let him rejoice in that. Do you think it's too much to ask you and me to suffer for Jesus? We sing that song, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What sacrifices are you willing to make on behalf of the Lord? Well, I think about too about the apostles. These were men who finally came to realize those things that Jesus spent 3 years teaching them. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, they put themselves to the task of doing the work of the Lord. Over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, we read about that event when Jesus was ascending back into heaven. And verse 4 says that gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you've heard from me. As Jesus is prepared to leave these men, he tells them, you go to Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem. And they didn't think it was too much to wait there for the promise. And he was talking about the Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and giving them guidance and direction and inspiration for their work. But these men didn't think it was too much to wait in Jerusalem. You have any problems waiting? The Bible has much to say to us about patience over in James chapter 5, if you would look there. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Do you have that concept of the Lord that you're waiting for to return? The Lord who is full of compassion and mercy. And so, therefore, you're willing to wait for Him? I tell you, it's hard to wait sometimes. It's hard to have this kind of patience. It's a challenge to do so. But is it too much to ask of us? Is it too much? It wasn't too much for the apostles to go to Jerusalem and there to wait. We are told so many times in the Scriptures to wait on the Lord. So you know what that means you've got to do? Assuming the sun rises tomorrow. It means you've just got to get up and do the same things tomorrow that you've done today, if you're doing what's right today. If you're going to serve the Lord in a way that pleases Him, in a patient way, it means just doing the same things tomorrow and the day after that, the day after that. That's what endurance is. When I think about these apostles, I also think specifically about Peter, his willingness to go to Jerusalem. Acts, the 10th chapter, tells of how he received messengers from a man named Cornelius in the city of Joppa. And he was called there to go and preach. And Peter went. The Lord prepared him for this because this man Cornelius was a Gentile. Gentiles hadn't been taught the gospel up to this point in time. And so for Peter to go and speak to this non-Jew was quite a significant development in the course of the gospel's revelation. And the Lord prepared him for it. Gave him this vision, you know, the sheet lowered three times, and in that sheet were all manner of animals, unclean animals. And the Lord said to Peter, you know, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, no, Lord, I can't do that. And finally, it got through to Peter that what the Lord was telling him was what the Lord has declared to be clean or acceptable, don't you call unclean. Then here come the messengers from this unclean Gentile, saying to Peter, come and teach the words of truth to him. And Peter went, and he taught the words of truth. But you know, then he had to go back to Jerusalem. And verse 2 says that when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. Some versions say they criticized him. Peter didn't think it was too much to go to Jerusalem and face criticism, to have issue taken. And this is more than just some, you know, passing comments that these folks may have made. They thought Peter had done wrong. You've done something wrong in speaking to Gentiles. Peter's willing to be criticized for doing what's right. God had made it plain to him that this was the right thing to do, and Peter was going to do it, even if it meant criticism. How many times have you seen where brethren, good brethren, doing the right things, doing the kind of things they should do, became the targets of criticism for that right doing, and as a result, they throw their hands up and say, I don't want anything else to do with you people. And they don't just quit the church. They quit the Lord. They leave. Is it too much to think that we might be criticized for doing what's right? Well, as the Apostle Peter said, and we've already seen in 1 Peter chapter 4, let it be for doing what's right by all means, rather than for doing what's wrong. Is it too much to think that you might be expected to be criticized? Is it too much to think that you ought to be expected to be willing to be criticized for doing what's right? And the final thought that comes to my mind in this regard is of the Apostle Paul's willingness to go up to Jerusalem. He too made several trips to Jerusalem in the course of his preaching the gospel for Christ. I'll put your minds at ease. Our time is almost up. And I'm not going to try to go through all of these. But Acts 9 verse 26 said he was willing to go to Jerusalem to join with disciples. Is it too much to expect us to join ourselves with other men and women of faith, work together, work for the common purpose that we have in serving the Lord? Acts 15 and verse 2, he was willing to go to Jerusalem to clarify. The issue still remained in the church, whether the Gentiles should be accepted as, you know, brethren on the basis of their faith, or should they be expected to keep parts of the law of Moses, circumcision and others. Well, Paul went up there to clarify. You know, there's nothing wrong with being asked. There's nothing wrong with being challenged about the things that we believe and the things that we teach. There's nothing wrong with saying to the preacher or to the Bible class teacher, I need a little clarification on this. And I'll tell you what, those who preach and teach and who are in positions such as that need to be very careful that they don't adopt a superior kind of attitude. How dare you question me? Paul's willing to clarify. Acts 21, verse 12 and 13, he's making his way back to Jerusalem, and he's been told by the prophecy that he's going to go back there and face arrest. And the brethren along the way that he's encountered in Acts 21, they begin to try and persuade, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. And he asks them in this text, why are you breaking my heart this way? I'm willing to go to Jerusalem and to die. Is it too much to ask you and me to have a similar faith? A faith in which we're willing to die? We're told in the book of Revelation, be faithful even unto death. Finally, Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes to describe how after his conversion to Christ, he first did not go to Jerusalem. He didn't receive his message, he didn't receive his commissioning, if you will, from prominent people in Jerusalem like Peter and James and others. But he received his message by revelation. But the time came and he did go to Jerusalem, and there he met Peter. And I've just described this as a trip in order to become acquainted and in order to get to know this man Peter, who was certainly a consequential man in the Lord's cause. Is it too much to ask us to become acquainted with one another? to become familiar with one another so that our work together is more effective? Are you willing to do what is needed to make the work effective? Paul didn't think it was too much to go to Jerusalem in order to accomplish that purpose. You and I don't have to go to Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you and I have to do the kinds of things that people who did go to Jerusalem were willing to go there in order to accomplish. Won't you do that, Christian? If you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're missing out on the greatest blessings of this life. Yet, if you would in obedience come to Christ today, you can then take up the responsibilities. Let there be no mistake. These are responsibilities. They're obligations. And sometimes they're difficult to accomplish, but it's not too much to ask us to accomplish them. And it won't be too much to ask you if you would become one of His children today. Won't you give your obedience to His gospel? We pray so while we stand and sing.